Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a great start to your election day. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day again here in Middle Tennessee, just like yesterday, with a little bit warmer temps than yesterday. So get out and enjoy it. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville, and Chase McCabe is out on the west side in Bellevue, while Elijah Campbell is back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing well. Ready for action. It is a beautiful day.
It is.
And it's a big day. Hope a lot of people are out and about, got your plan together. If you have not yet voted, get out there. Get it done. You know the drill. You don't need me to tell you, but it's pretty inspiring to know how many people. I think at the end of the day, we're going to have the highest turnout we've had in a long time, which is great.
It's awesome. Yeah, get out there and vote. Rock the vote.
I would say whatever. More than ever.
Yep.
Not a long time, don't you think? I mean, I think it'll be the highest turnout we've ever had.
And I think wrong? That's fantastic. It's your right, so use it. So I think that is awesome. And I'm doing well. I'm feeling good today. It's a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It's a little chilly. I enjoy doing something that I haven't gotten to do in a long time, albeit virtually. I went to wrestling last night. I was in the audience. I was
really?
In the virtual audience.
The virtual audience.
Yeah. So WWE has this, they're doing everything at the arena in which the Magic play in Orlando. They have rented that space out. So they have the full setup, but they have screens surrounding the ring that they put fans in digitally, you know, through Zoom or whatever. And so you can, it's called the Thunderdome, so you can sign up and you're randomly selected. So I got to do the last hour of the show and they put me on the front row.
Wow.
So I had people texting me saying, I see you on TV.
So very it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was neat.
Very cool.
So I did that while watching Tom Brady and then the Giants. That didn't go exactly how I had planned, but hey, they won.
They did win.
And hit the over.
And had to fight.
A little controversy at the
every
end there.
Step
yeah,
of the way.
A little bit.
Oh, really? I don't think so.
What's you don't think controversy? It's controversial? A guy throws a flag and then picks up the flag?
No, I think that's a job well done. More crews should do that. To me, they got the call right. They
I
should
they
talk more.
I think if
they
you
should get
for the
together
Giants,
more.
Yeah, well, that's great, but it's not consistent with what we see a lot. It may be right.
Well,
it's a debatable
I
call.
I can't control on what other crews do. I would say I like what a good crew does. That's a sign of a good crew. And I saw it all weekend. I did see crews that got together and did exactly what they did last night, and the call was the right, and it was the right thing to do in the other instances that I watched. Now, you may say it was controversial. I didn't think it was controversial at all. I did not think that was pass interference.
Well,
I thought it was a very, very, very poor pass by Daniel Jones.
Well, we know that. That's why it was even close. But did you not see some pass interferences go the Bucks' way earlier in the game that you thought were probably not pass interference, but they didn't pick up the flag on those?
Well, I'm just talking about this play. This play I didn't feel like
same
was
crew.
Pass interference. Yeah.
Same crew?
Yeah. I wouldn't have called that. It was the right thing.
Maybe so, but there was a little contact there, and it was before the ball got there. It was very, very close. The guy threw the flag.
He hit him the minute the ball hit him in the back. That's how poorly the ball was thrown.
Yeah, it was a poor throw, but that doesn't mean you can't have pass interference on the play.
Yeah. I didn't think it was pass interference. I thought it was the right thing to do.
I tend to agree, but the guy threw the flag.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's controversial. If you're a Giants fan, you thought there was controversy. Certainly Joe Judge said so after the game. It's a great topic. It's a great topic. Why didn't they pick up the flag in the Titans game when Malcolm Butler was called for, what I did not think was pass interference?
You and most everybody else watching.
And it had nothing to do with the play. The ball got intercepted anyway. So why in the heck wouldn't you pick up the flag on that play?
Like I said, then the bad crew. I'll praise the good crews, and I'll say bad crew. That officiating crew on Sunday was hot pile of garbage in the Titans game. They were terrible, period. That was a terrible crew. I mean, what more do you want me to say? They were not good at their job on Sunday.
Nope.
I thought that crew last night, yeah, there may have been a little bit of inconsistencies, maybe other calls you thought, but in the end, with the game on the line, I thought they got together and they did the right thing. They picked up the flag and it wasn't a foul. I didn't think the Giants should have been awarded another opportunity because it's all on their quarterback, who was also very, very inconsistent all night with some really poor passing. And he had Deion Lewis wide open, and he threw a horrible pass for the two-point conversion. And the only reason Wingate had a chance is because it was such a pathetic pass.
Of course, but that's not the point. The terrible pass or a great – it could have been a great pass where the same thing happened. It's just – it's an interesting thing because they've taken it out. They've now taken away the rule. You can't review it anymore, right? We all agree that was a bad
idea. Right, well,
we
found that out on Sunday. I mean, it wasn't reviewable.
Yeah.
True.
Well, I don't know if it was necessarily a bad idea to be able to review it. It just wasn't
enforceable.
And they're so inconsistent on how they make that call because referees are inconsistent, as we know. I've worked with you guys for 9 years now. I've been listening even longer, and I have heard Darren, I'll use a cleaner word, but complain for years about officials and the inconsistencies and how they need to be full time, and I could not agree with him even more on that. At least they got together. At least they all huddled up, and I feel like we've seen that a little bit more, that they've huddled up and discussed some things of, okay, maybe it's not. What did you see? But on Sunday they were awful. But
that's what I don't get. If we can go and have a conference after a guy throws a flag. Right, I don't remember that always being the case growing up. I think when you throw the flag and you call something, 99.9% of the time, there's not even going to be a discussion, even if it's shaky. But like, why does nobody in the game on Sunday go to that ref that threw the flag and say, you know, the ball was intercepted before it ever got to the guy? Do we think this is the right idea to throw the flag here? What did that have to do with the play? It's very, very close to begin with. And the ball's and while we're at it, why isn't that even the rule? If the ball is intercepted before it gets to the player who is supposedly being interfered with, whether it's close or not, what does that have to do with anything? The ball's intercepted before it gets there.
I don't think you're going to get any pushback to what you're saying. I think you're spot on. But, once again, I can't defend a bad crew. That was a crew that was horrendous, and I'm not surprised that they didn't get together, and I'm not surprised that they didn't change it, because they weren't very good at their jobs on Sunday. I think, going back to what you said, not to rehash this, because you're right, because I know we have listeners that have been listening to us for a long, long time, and I'm certainly not trying to open up that can of worms. But when you're an industry or a business, a company like the National Football League, and you divvy up a $12 billion pie every year, whatever the number is. We lose count. You just keep adding billions every year to what they divvy up to their organizations, to their franchises, because of how much money they're printing money. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole. I kind of feel like a lot of people, it's like, is this the best we can do here, speaking of today? And I'll leave it at that. That's the best we got in this whole country. That's the best we got. I know I'm not the only person that feels that way. And so it goes that way with the officials. Like, this is the best you have. And to me, it's like, oh, so you don't think it's that important because you let them go have other jobs. And it's like, so either you're not paying them good enough, or it's just you're treating it as moonlighting, and it's not that important. Yeah, go do whatever you do during the day. Go be an attorney or a judge or whatever during the week, and then on Sunday show up and officiate our games. We don't really think it's that important. I just would like for the league to say, no, we actually really value this position. We think it's vitally important for our product, and we're willing to pay you well for this to be your only job, for this to be the job that you focus on Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week. This is your job. This is what you get paid to do. Figure out how to be the best you can be at your job. And if you're not, and it's the only job that you have, we will fire you and we will find somebody better. I feel like there's too many of those crews, Willie, like yesterday, that are just horrible at what they do. And I look around and I go, there's nobody better. There's nobody in this country that can do a better job than that. And it's not just the Titans game. It's just watch the games. Watch all weekend long. College football isn't any better. I just would like for them to treat it like it's an important position. Like, you know, they change the outcomes of games. They get coaches fired. Treat it like it is. It's a vitally important position, and they should treat it as such. And I just don't feel like they've ever treated it as a really, really important job to their product, to their business. It's like, yeah, just come in on Sundays and do your job and go back to your regular job. That doesn't seem like a company that treats it as an important position. I don't view it that way.
I'm not going to go down this road. Again, we've been through it. I think you could do all that and still have plenty of controversial calls that come up. I'm just surprised that you rarely ever see a flag get picked up. And I agree with you in principle. You should be able to do that. But if you're going to do that, then it should be done a lot more than it is. If you're going to have a conference after that pass interference, you probably should have a conference off after a lot of pass interferences. Where was the conference in the NFC Championship game? I guess nobody saw that one. They didn't, if there was ever a time to pick up the flag, that was it.
And instead of going to instant replay, just put a rule or an understanding in place that after every pass interference call, the officials are going to huddle up. Just take that time just to get together. Hey, what did you see? What did you see?
Add an hour to every game?
It wouldn't add an hour.
It would add some time.
Do you want to get it right, or do you want to keep doing what we're doing?
Well, I would say that
I'm not saying
there's
going
a
to the
lot
hood,
of pass
I'm just
interference.
Saying, huddle up.
There's a lot of pass interference calls. So then you're saying basically you should throw a pass. If it's close, just throw the flag so you can have a conference and then decide whether to pick up the flag or not. It's tough. It's never going to be perfect, no matter what you do.
Nobody's saying that. I'm not saying that either. Full-time refs, it's not going to be a perfect game. There is no such thing. But it could be better. Doesn't have to be perfect. It's got to be better.
I agree.
There is room for improvement. How about that? We've all been in those, right, end of the year or those meetings. There's room for improvement. That's all I'm saying. It's never going to be perfect, Willie. Never. I don't care if they spend 80 hours a week honing their craft. It's never going to be perfect, but it can be better. It can be better than what we see weekend and weekend out. I mean, it's just every weekend. This is what we – there's too much of that going on. Too much. It can be better. Be better. That's all I'm saying.
Be better.
All right, let's come back and let's talk. No rebuttal. No nothing from anybody. Okay, nope. We end on be better on three. Ready? One, two, three.
You both said you
be better.
Go down that road, so I turned onto the other road.
All right, we will come back and we will talk with Scott Ramsey on the other side. Darren, Donica, Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Just like what Willie did, and it was on radio, so you couldn't see it, probably rolling his eyes in East Nashville when I went down the rabbit hole of full-time refs. Our next guest probably rolls his eyes, too, every time I say, the big cheese is on the line, Scott Ramsey, the Nashville Sport Council. I don't know why I can't ever just give him the proper due. I think big cheese is bigger than big. I think it's bigger than the title he already has. But Scott is on the line with us, and we actually threw out this when it was announced. It's going to take some time to say the Transperfect Music City Bowl. And now Scott joins us. Scott, how you doing?
I'm good, Darren, and I'm trying not to get to be a big cheese here during this COVID work from home, eat everything in the house kind of mode.
Yeah, no, we're all fighting that, believe me. Tell us a little bit about Transperfect. I'll be perfectly honest, I don't know a lot about them, but are really glad that they're a part of our community. And, of course, sponsorships are, you know, what drives everything and what you do. And obviously they're vitally important to what you do when it comes to the Music City Bowl.
Well, it's kind of a great story, really. I think it speaks to a lot of things that we should feel pretty proud about our community and our sports community about. Obviously, Franklin American Mortgage was a tremendous 10-year sponsor with us. Really couldn't have done it without them. And, however, they were purchased by a bank in the Northeast, and they decided not to renew the sponsorship. So last year we renewed, we had to redo our conference agreements, and we transitioned fully to the Big Ten for the next 6 years. And this is year one of the six-year agreement. It syncs up with the college football playoff cycle. And with that, it was the expiration of Franklin American sponsorship. And we were in the marketplace, and actually TransPerfect reached out to us because of what Nashville had kind of become as a sports destination. They are an international translation company, a huge amount of Fortune 500 companies as clients. They do everything from printed to call centers to business consulting, international translation services, which is funny now. Every time I buy something, I see about eight different versions of languages in it, and I think of them. But they're a private company, and they were looking for a little branding, very similar to Franklin American. And they also want to entertain some of their high-end corporate clients, and Nashville really fit that bill. And they knew we had a great reputation and a lot of stability with sponsorships. And this is their first sponsorship and opportunity to get their name out there, and we're pretty proud that they chose to invest in Nashville.
Well, you can tell them it's working, because I'm a prime example of I see that, and I want to know more. Like, okay, I didn't know anything about them, so I want to know more. And I think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for more recognition and more people to know what they do. So tell them job well done. You guys also made the announcement of the date of this year's Music City Bowl. You've always been kind of in that December 29th through December 31st window. It's varied from year to year and times too. Do you feel, and I know this is hard to answer, right? It's hard to answer a lot of questions in 2020 because sometimes we just don't have the answer. But do you feel, I'm just gut feeling right now, do you think it's going to go off the announced date that you put out there? Do you still feel good that it'll happen then? Or do you think there's a real shot a lot of this stuff gets pushed into January?
Well, I mean, that's a great hypothetical question, Darren. I think a couple things. One, on the December 30 day, it's any time in the last, I would say, 10 years or 15 years since we started, or the city and the CVB has started the New Year's Eve event, we have tried to work with ESPN the best we could to be on the 30th. Now, sometimes that conflicts with the Titans schedule where it falls on the weekend, or certain things happen where we couldn't do it. But we feel like from a business standpoint and a tourism standpoint, it allows us to bring in the bowl fans, all 35 to 40,000 of them that we've been averaging as out-of-towners, roll into the city and either stay for New Year's Eve, or if they choose to leave, the hotels can fill up with some new clients, and we're not kind of on top of each other with big events. So the 30th really was a great strategic kind of model for us in the city to kind of roll right into New Year's Eve. But to your question about this year, I feel as good as we can feel. I feel better now than I felt probably 6 weeks ago about, having a game. And, certainly this year won't be representative of what we've built the bowl to be, as a good 3-day Nashville-style party with Battle of the Bands and closing streets and concerts and tailgate parties and all of those things. And we're going to have to cancel those this year for obvious reasons. And I think every bowl game now is working under a model where teams only probably travel in for one or two nights, and really kind of create a bubble at the hotel, play the games, and do the best we can with selling as many tickets as will be allowed by our local protocols at that time. So, it's going to be a scaled-down version, no doubt about that. It's not what we wanted to roll out with our first year with TransPerfect, our first year with selecting third in the Big Ten right behind the Outback Bowl. But, it is what it is, and we think it's a positive step forward to have the game. We're on the 30th. We lead into the Cotton Bowl, so hopefully we'll have great viewership, and hopefully, by then we can sell, more tickets than the Titans are doing now, and hopefully we can kind of ramp that up and get a little bit of a tourism impact for us this year, and then start turning our attention to 2021.
Scott Ramsey with us, executive director of the new TransPerfect Music City Bowl, which will be December the 30th. And Scott, you just laid it out. You guys have a pretty good pick, and over the years, you guys have improved your position. So it probably wouldn't get to you. But this year, as we know, the selection process is going to be different with teams, for the most part, just playing in conference. So what do you think we're going to see? How do you think that will affect how you pick?
Well, today, right now, Willie, we're kind of working through that with our conference partners, Big Ten, SEC. I think there's a couple things. One, the business format or formula that we've traditionally had and every bowl has had. We make guarantees to the conferences for, you know, a certain pick selection. We've really gone back to the conferences and saying, hey, guys, I mean, this year, you know, some cities can sell tickets, some can't. All of our sponsors aren't coming back. We can't create the assets with the social and entertainment assets that we've normally had to package the sponsors. We may not have tickets. So we've gone back to the conferences and really tried to take a one-year retooling of the business formula. We're working through that now, and I think that will impact how we create matchups. And I'm going to move away from word selection for 1 year and say we're going to try to create the best matchup that we can for Nashville. Now, that may turn into, hey, we want to be a little more regional with teams only coming in for 1 or 2 days and try to minimize travel costs. That may not be the case, where we may have some teams charter in and come in because that's just kind of the way the everything fell. We're hopeful that we've got a full lineup of teams from each conference that can go to bowls. Obviously, the NCAA waived the minimum win rule because we just don't know how many games teams are going to play. They're playing all conference games or maybe some canceled. Big Ten's already had one, Wisconsin, Nebraska. So, you know, from that standpoint, the conferences are going to fill their contracted bowl partners in some form or fashion, and we're trying to figure out what the best method for that will be over the next few weeks.
So here's a hypothetical, Scott, and once again, I don't think this would affect you guys, but I'm curious if there's a attractive team out there from a television rating standpoint, a branding standpoint, and a league like the Big Ten that maybe hasn't played all their games. Is it the league that determines to the bowls, these are the teams from our league that are eligible to be picked? Or if a bowl game wanted to take a team that had kind of a rough year, but there were reasons for that, maybe they had a section of their games that were either canceled or they were depleted for virus reasons, what kind of leeway does the bowl game have there?
Well, I'll give you two answers, Willie. The first answer will be over the six-year contract period, every conference has a different way of kind of selecting teams. For our two, and I'll give you the specific changes in ours, the Big Ten's a full pick. The Citrus Bowl picks, the Outback Bowl picks, we pick. And we're pretty excited about getting some new fan bases and some new brands in here. You know, the Penn States, the Michigans, the Iowas, the Wisconsins that we think would do extremely well in here. And picking in that slot, we think we have a good shot at those type of teams. In the SEC, we have a pool of five bowl games. Charlotte and Las Vegas alternate year to year, but that counts as one slot. Nashville, Jacksonville, Tampa, and Houston. We all work in collaboration with the conference on teams. We try not to repeat teams within a three-year period the best we can, and obviously avoid some matchups. And through that process, ultimately, the SEC makes an assignment if you want to get contractual about it. But the bowls have a major say in who we'd like in that. So it's two very different systems. One's a very collaborative effort with the conference having the last say, and the Big Ten is more of your traditional, historical, hey, you're on the clock, who are you selecting? This year, though, I just think you can kind of throw all that out the window, and we're going to try to make the best matchups in each city that make the most sense. And to your point, I mean, it's just going to be a year that's going to be hard to kind of measure things on a traditional sense of records, wins, losses. You know, you could have some players that were major impact players and missed two or three or four games and then they're back. So, you know, I think once the CFP and the New Year's Six guys fill their slots, I think after that you're going to see more of a collaboration between all the bowls and the conferences and trying to make matchups that make sense. that could make sense on trying to reduce travel costs, and it could make sense of just putting matchups, to your point, Willie, of really creating some great matchups that gain a lot of viewership on the broadcast.
We're talking to Scott Ramsey of the Nashville Sports Council and the Music City Bowl. Of course, December 30th, that game will be played in our city. Scott, as you know, this has been obviously a weird time, and we've for years have been having conversations with you, whether it's about the bowl or, hey, what's next? What's the next big event that's coming to our city? How has this pandemic affected some of the conversations that you and your crew have had with some of these other events that could be in our city in the future?
That's a great question, Chase. It seems like we're doing, like everybody, just doing a lot of work that hopefully won't ever come to fruition on a lot of what-if situations. So, you know, in 2021-22, I would say in my 25 years of being here, it's probably our most dynamic lineup of events that maybe we've ever had over an 18-month period, with a diversity of events and the uniqueness of the events. And I'll run through them real quick. Obviously, we hope in November 21st here in a couple weeks that we'll be able to stage delayed 2020 Rock and Roll Marathon Half Marathon. We're hoping to get 7,000-8,000 runners. We've recreated the course, minimized the personal interaction, but hopefully we can pull that off. Hopefully we can stage the bowl on December 30th if everything tracks right with the regular seasons and through the COVID situation. But then in 21, we flipped it and we go straight into the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament. Hopefully another Rock and Roll Marathon in late April. In May, we've got the NCAA Men's Golf Regionals out at the Golf Club of Tennessee. And then in July, we've got the SEC Football Media Days for the first time at the Grand Hyatt in the new Nashville Yards area. We're hoping to kind of create, a great event for that. But again, 6-8 months out, who knows? We follow that up with the first Grand Prix, Music City Grand Prix, which will be a really dynamic event with IndyCar in August. Come back for the bowl in December. Hopefully it's back to normal. And then in January, we've got the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, which will select the Olympic team for the Beijing Olympics. Hopefully that stays on time. So there's just a lot of things that we've got lined up that we hope can kind of get us back and really accelerate the economic recovery of our city through some sporting events.
So with all that said, and here comes the hypothetical, as we like to do here on this show.
That's where we live these days, isn't it?
Exactly. Like. And especially in this profession, it's what we have to do. We obviously, things are different in Canada with the travels of their teams. And so we've seen a lot of their teams look at playing at other places. The Blue Jays played in Buffalo for their season. Hypothetically, could Nashville be in consideration for the Raptors if the NBA were to approve it, if they needed a home and could not play in Toronto? Is that something that you all have discussed or would discuss, or how would you answer that?
Well, I certainly don't want to completely punt on an answer, but I would say really, in all sincerity, that'd be a better question for Sean Henry, in that would just be on whatever he thinks the available dates and the business situation between when they think they can start scheduling concerts, hockey games, and can they roll in an NBA team. I don't really know the time frames, the dates, and those kind of terms. That would be something that would be very building-specific, Chase. If it happened, I know Sean would call and say, hey, we need all the partners in the city to help with X, Y, and Z. I'm certain that Nashville is in consideration for everything right now. I mean, I mentioned the TransPerfect decision, and that really came because of the profile Nashville has kind of become as a sports destination, so sports and entertainment for that matter. So I would say a generic answer is yes, I think we would be a city considered, but a specific answer would have to probably go to Sean on being able to work all that out from a logistical and operational standpoint.
Hey, that is a fair answer. I just wanted to kind of see where you all were at on that. He's Scott Ramsey with the Nashville Sports Council and the Music City Bowl coming up on December 30th. Looking forward to that. Scott, we appreciate it as always.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. And I can leave you with one thing. If everybody would jump on nashvillesports.com, we're still really needing some help with some volunteers for the marathon on November 21st. You can sign up as groups of four or six. and help us with a water station. All the COVID protocols are in place. They're on our website, and we really need some help there to kind of help pull off an event that hopefully is the first step of getting back to some normalcy. So if anybody out there listening, you know, has some time or availability, man, we really appreciate it here in the last minute to kind of help us with some volunteerism.
Absolutely. Be sure to do
appreciate
that.
It.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Scott Ramsey with the Music City Bowl and the Nashville Sports Council joining us here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We'll have much more coming, but it's my time to tell you about BetMGM. I've been talking about this for a few weeks now. Sports betting became legal on Sunday. I downloaded the app. It was very simple. I searched BetMGM in the App Store. I got registered. That was another simple process. Made my deposit and got going on some NFL games. You can do that too. It is not too late, and they have some special offers for you. New customers can make their first bet risk-free up to $500. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME. 1025GAME. That's the bonus code you use when you sign up. Bet with confidence day in and day out with their innovative parlay system, so you can build those and try and win more. In-play betting, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. It's always showtime on the BetMGM app from the same people that bring you the most exciting sports books and casinos on the Las Vegas Strip. At BetMGM, you're always just one click away from your victory dance. So all you need to do like I did, go download the app, search BetMGM, or you can go to BetMGM.com, use that bonus code 1025GAME, and you get up to $500 in free bets on your first wager. It's that simple. Turn big plays into paydays like me at BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of the Tennessee Titans. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older. You must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, take two. Ready? Action. Our show on this Tuesday is brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. Smoother than smooth. Not as smooth as my first intro or outro, what it would be coming out of the break, because I had it myself on mute. So, yeah. Take two. Ready? Action.
It's okay.
I was like, why is Elijah still playing the music so loud? I'm talking louder and louder. What's going on? Oh, yeah, I'm not on. Whoops.
It's okay.
If you guys haven't seen, the Packers got real issues right now as they lost to the Vikings yesterday, and that was a big part of our pick six question. But right now, Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon, two of their running backs, they're out. They play Thursday night against the 49ers. They've got COVID issues, and we already know that Aaron Jones has been out dealing with a calf injury, and they have no idea if he's going to be back. If Aaron Jones can't go, Dexter Williams and Tyler Irvin are going to be carrying the rock for the Packers.
Sure.
Yeah. Exactly. Sure. Just thought I'd pass that along.
The 49ers are not going to send out any
hugs,
you know, get well soon notes.
Virtual hugs.
They've got some serious injuries of their own.
Can they field a team? how are they looking?
They've been dealing with it all year. Now George Kittle, broken foot, out 8 weeks.
Garoppolo's out. It's interesting because
Tevin Coleman comes back and gets hurt again.
Yeah, it sort of illustrates how precarious things can be with all of the injury issues that are a normal part of a season, and then on top of it, you could lose five guys quick due to the virus, right? So then all of a sudden it compounds everything. So there's a lot of football left, and that's why it's so nice that the Titans are 5-2. Hopefully they've had the worst of their COVID stuff in the rearview mirror. Hopefully they don't have another episode that rivals that. But it just shows you that as many problems as you have, everybody's got problems. Who would have thought the Buccaneers had all kinds of trouble? If the Giants just don't beat themselves by turning the ball over, as many times as they did, they very well could have beaten the Buccaneers. You just talked about the Vikings, a team that had one win. They went into Lambeau Field and won pretty decisively against the Packers. So there's just not that much of a difference between teams in the NFL in a regular year and maybe especially this year.
Yep. Let's go to Nate, who was called in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate, what's up?
Morning, guys. I just had a question about Chase's Raptors question to Scott Ramsey. Would Sean Henry not, or would Sean Henry approving the Raptors to come here impact their relationship with the Grizzlies in any way?
That's it's a good question that I don't have the answer to.
Well, why? Let's just try to. This honestly, Chase, I hadn't even heard about it.
Tell everybody who didn't see it. If they didn't see it over the weekend, tell everybody what you're talking about, Chase. If they're just tuning in.
Yeah. So obviously the Raptors are trying to figure out the season if they're going to play in home markets and not bubble, which appears to be what they're going to do.
Remember when we talked to Caleb Joseph back during the World Series, he played for the Blue Jays this year. They played in Buffalo. So just
correct.
To kind of put little perspective of what we're talking about. And now there's real concern that the Raptors are not going to play in Toronto. So
because of the strict quarantine rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you go into Canada, you have to quarantine. And so teams coming across the border in the NHL, as we know, obviously, if the Raptors are dealing with it, there's seven teams that will be dealing with it in the NHL. So that sets the backdrop.
Yeah. So there was, there's been a few reports, and one that came out this weekend said Raptors look into playing next season in Newark or Nashville or Tampa Bay. So they're talking to some other cities potentially about playing their games, making that their home market because of the travel restrictions and everything with Canada. So that's where that question came from. As for the relationship with the Grizzlies, I don't know, but I would assume that it would be understood that this is obviously a very weird time, and it's not, it's not anything against the Grizzlies. It's just they're trying to help out, the Raptors, and they're trying to do something else for the city. I mean, that's obviously going to bring in some revenue. So that's something that
you
would
look at. It's a one-time thing.
Let me ask a silly question that probably Willie is the most equipped to answer, and I honestly don't know the answer. What is really the relationship with the Grizzlies outside of Fox Sports Tennessee? Outside of a TV deal, what relationship is it other than two professional teams in the state of Tennessee?
Well, I think it's a good relationship. I would ask the question, how would it affect the relationship in any adverse way? If you have, in theory, you would have a limited number of seats to sell. So the number of fans that the Grizzlies would hope to get from Nashville is minimal anyway, especially when you don't have all of your seats to fill to begin with. So I don't know how it would affect the relationship in any way. Do you guys disagree?
No, that's what I mean.
I think it's a good cordial relationship. They've tried to do some partnership. We do a marketing thing through Fox called Team Tennessee, where we try to promote one another on the telecast. As far as the actual organizations, I think there's been some ticket packages that have been shared at particular times.
That's what I'm getting at. I don't know.
I just don't know that that would affect it.
But I don't know what behind the scenes, and that's what I'm talking about. So it's not like there's a Grizzlies night here and there's a Predators night at Grizzlies game, to my knowledge,
I think there have been on some level. It hasn't been any huge thing. I think there's been some attempts to cross-promote, but in a one-shot deal, it's not like all of a sudden Toronto's going to start playing here every year. That it would be just only until they could get back to Toronto and start playing.
And I don't think that this is a, at least not in the near future, this isn't a ploy to get the NBA in Nashville.
Right. I mean, that would be a different deal if that were the case.
Sure.
It's a one-off.
Yeah. It's simply a, hey, it's an opportunity.
Well, let's hope it's a one-off. How about that?
Yeah. It's an opportunity to have professional basketball in our city to help out an NBA team. It's obviously we're not an NBA market, but pretty big to be, could be an NBA market. There's a team 3 hours down the road. It would make a ton of sense. But at the same time, according to, this is from NBC Sports, Newark is an option, Tampa is an option. So Nashville was obviously mentioned as a part of that, but it would be cool. And that's something that I think we've hypothetically discussed when all this started, you know, in our months of not having sports. These were the conversations that we had of, okay, well, a Canadian team, you know, what if there's a free agent baseball team that plays here? You know, what if a Canadian team came here? And so now, you know, the NBA is looking at it. I know the NHL, they have to look at different things of, you know, to limit travel and all of that. But it's just, this is where we are.
Let me start with you, Willie, because we've talked about this. And, Chase, I know you have younger demo friends that probably travel there before all the what's happened over the weekend, probably went to Tunica and what have you. So they know the lay of the land in Memphis. But I'll start with you, Willie, just because we've been talking about this subject for 20 years in this market. And I'm just asking for your opinion because obviously none of us really know the answer. But you know, we've had calls over the years. Why don't you ever talk about the Grizzlies? Why don't you ever talk about, you know, the Memphis Tigers? Why don't you ever, you know, the easiest comeback is, well, do you call them up in Memphis and say, why don't you ever talk about the Predators? Why don't you ever talk about the Titans? Why don't you ever talk about Vanderbilt? Yeah, right. You know the game that we've had, okay, and the relationship. And it feels like Memphis, especially with the boom of Nashville, and it probably started with the whole Oilers thing, and that probably left a really bad taste in their mouth that one year in 97. That probably didn't help the relationship of two cities in the same state. But then the boom of Nashville and all the love that Nashville gets, I just have never gotten the vibe that the two markets, the two cities, they coexist, they live in the same state. But how would you describe, what do you think the relationship is between the two markets today in 2020? Has it gotten better, worse, or just stayed the same?
I think between the two organizations, it's a good relationship. And I think what's been really, I think the what you would say is both have become self-reliant, right? Without, they haven't had to have the help of the other city, maybe as much as you once thought. It's a nice thing to have a good relationship and have some creativity on how you can interact with one another.
No, but I'm asking about the markets. Do you believe, because you know, you've heard all this stuff over the years. We've all filled, me and you have filled these calls forever, for two decades. Why don't you, you know, what's the Memphis, Nashville? What's the deal?
I think the markets are separate markets. There's not a lot of interaction between the two markets.
So it's stayed the same or it's gotten better or worse over the years?
I used to think there was a little bit of a rivalry.
A little bit?
Don't you think?
More than just a little bit. You're downplaying. It was more than
I would say. Would you agree that the rivalry, the competition is not what it was, right?
To an extent.
The jealousy or, you know, I think Memphis was pretty bitter for a long time that they didn't get the NFL.
I think they're still
bitter. Then you're like, oh, now you're going to put a team here in our stadium for just a couple years until your stadium's ready. We don't want that. And they didn't go to the Tennessee Titans or the Tennessee Oilers games there. So yeah. I think that has softened. They're now a major league market. I think they coexist and there's not as a bitter rivalry. And it's kind of like, I don't know if, you know, you really are that interested in what the other city is doing. This is my perspective of what most Nashvillians think of Memphis. I mean, I don't know if I'm qualified to tell you what Memphis natives think of Nashville, but the only people that I really know that follow Memphis are people that have ties to Memphis, right?
Yeah.
The Grizzlies have gotten some following, right? I think John Morant is going to change the game.
Sure.
I think we're following the Grizzlies more maybe than we have before. Would you agree? Whether you
because
have ties
him,
to Memphis
yeah,
or not, because
sure,
of him, because and of because him. They could be pretty good the next few years.
But we have tried over the years to kind of build relationships there. And I just kind of feel like there's an attempt early on and then it just kind of goes away. Like it seems like a relationship that keeps trying and it never can stick, right? It's like it's got legs and then it just kind of fizzles away. We've tried to do this stuff many, many times, whether it's relationship, you know, with the Grizzlies or whatever on the show. And it's like they have interest and, at first, and then it just always seems to fizzle away. So, Chase, how would you describe it?
Yeah, I think maybe it's gotten a little bit better, but honestly, I think Memphis is like, Nashville, you do you, and we're going to do us. There's just not – I don't think they want much of a relationship, and I think it goes both ways. I think there's people here that don't really want much of a relationship there. I know some people – in Memphis that refer to the Tennessee Titans as the Nashville Titans. They don't claim them as the Tennessee Titans because of everything that happened 20 plus years ago. I mean, that was a bit, because Memphis for years, they built the Liberty Bowl, not just for the University of Memphis. They built the Liberty Bowl with NFL aspirations and were, you know, in consideration for it. When the Jags came into the league, Memphis was up for it. They had an XFL team. Did they have a USFL team? Back in
Memphis?
The day,
Showboats.
Did you write?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
So you know, they have wanted the NFL, and when Nashville got it, you know, obviously they were upset about it. And if I lived there and grew up there, I probably would be too. So I get that, but I don't really think they're.
I honestly tend to agree with pretty much everything you're saying, Chase. I feel the same way. I kind of just feel like it's too. Markets in the same state, and it's
they're
like
two very different
cities.
They
look across at each other and they go, you do you and we'll do us, and
right.
That's
but it's not, but maybe not as much animosity as there was. So, well, I want to ask this question because I guess
it goes back to, if that's what it is, then who cares? You know, what if everybody's just doing their own thing and Toronto wants to be here, then who cares if it's two markets that truly just say, you do you and we'll do us, then what do you care whether it ruffles a feather in Memphis, if that's truly what it is?
So let's ask a couple other questions about this, I think, because it's kind of a fascinating thing. I think every building who is sitting there, just like our building in Nashville, is looking to be creative. How do we get events? How do we generate some revenue? And so every building, I think, would be interested in having an NBA team. The dates are there, right? You could make it work. Especially with two leagues that tend to be working pretty well together right now, the NHL and the NBA. Now, if you're the NBA, you would probably say, well, it makes the most sense just from a travel standpoint to put them in Newark, right? That just
sure.
You have, you know, three teams that wouldn't hardly have to move around to play
or
each other.
Is that where the
your
Devils
product
play?
In a non-NBA market? Why would you go to a market?
See, now that's a great question. And then does Toronto have a say in it? Right? Do they want it more geographically close to their city, or do they care one way or the other? I don't know. But and then the other question is here that I would have, and I'm just bouncing these out. You guys tell me what you think. Let's just put a general thing of 7,000 fans is the maximum you could have. Could you fill 7,000 seats alongside of a Predators season? In the building for the Raptors, a pretty darn good team?
Yep.
In this city?
Yep.
You think you could?
Yep. I do.
Especially because it's the Grizzlies. Because it's the Raptors, a pretty exciting team. You got LeBron in the East.
No, it's new. It's the NBA. And you just look, whenever the Lakers come to – whenever just – you know, it's not taking anything away from the Raptors because everything you said is true. They hold their own in the Eastern Conference. But look, any attractive matchup that has the Bucks, the Lakers, you know, fill in the blank. The Nets now, if they have Durant and Irving, it'll be attractive, and people will want to go see that because they don't get that opportunity in Nashville. So people will go.
Oh, yeah.
Just will.
Yeah. I mean, the East probably doesn't have as many sexy stars. I was thinking LeBron. LeBron is in the West. You know, would you agree, like, the East doesn't have the star power? You know, but... I mean,
that'd
be a great
Celtics,
day. You would take
Celtics,
it in a, from a city
Bucks,
standpoint, a civic standpoint, you'd take it in a heartbeat, right? You would love to have it just for the dates, for the flow, for
revenue. Well, why
revenue.
Would you not for a year?
Of course you would. Of course you would. I just wonder how well it would be received. Would it be a 10? Would it be a 9?
I think it would be very, very well received.
Look, it's a one-off. Let's hope to goodness we're not still talking about this stuff in 2022. You know what I mean? I pray that is not our conversation in 2022. We've moved on, and we're back to normal lives, hopefully. But so it would be just a one-off. I think it would be a huge hit.
I do too. Elijah, you're an NBA fan. I know you're a Lakers fan, but would
he's
you go?
Not a good. He's not a good. You know the answer to that. He's
of
not.
He would go.
That, he's a, not oh, yeah. the guy we're talking.
Elijah
about.
Would have
Elijah.
He no, would be
the
in guy, every night. He
I wouldn't
be,
miss. Yeah, I would not miss.
The guy you're talking about is me. I'm not a huge NBA fan. I've been to you, Darren. You were with
no,
me when I went to
the guy
first game.
Is the older demo. That's that Elijah. You know, it's like you're asking a lineup Marquise and Elijah. Of course, we know their answer. I mean, of course they're going to go. Ask older demo. Are you going? Tell me somebody's 50. You going? Somebody okay, in their so 40s, 50s, 60s. You going? The younger demo will go absolutely if they have the income and they can do buy the tickets. They're going. But ask a 48-year-old.
Okay, so are you going?
Are they going? That's got Preds season tickets and Titans season tickets.
What? I think that would be the question.
But Chase, you're asking me, people. Once again, you're asking like the worst examples. This is
I
what
know.
We do for a living. Of
I know.
Course,
I'm making
the answer is
joke.
Yes. Like, let's talk about the people out there that have no ties to that. And they're an older demo. And they already have season tickets to other franchises, whether it's Nashville
that's
SC, Titans, Vanderbilt, Predators. Tell me, are they going to spend extra money on the NBA? That's what I want to
know. The time commitment. But as we found out with the soccer, right, the soccer fan isn't always the crossover fan who's a football or hockey fan, as
true.
You might think, right? The,
yep.
the Falcons.
That's like the one outlier. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's
basketball
fair.
Probably has its own cross-section of fans that would have the time that aren't going to Titans games or Predators games.
But here's the good news.
The college fan would be an interesting one, right?
Is why. No, because – but they probably, it depends on if they have the money or not. They would go.
That's true.
But they just – do they have
but
the money?
But you only need 7,000.
The beauty of this market is it's gotten so big and so diverse that's why we can have an MLS team. Because you're right. Really, they don't cross over a ton. And now we're talking about a Music City Grand Prix. And now we're talking about a NASCAR race. And now we're talking about already a professional football team, a professional hockey team, and an SEC football team, and all the other local team, Division I schools here. And they don't all cross over. Like some of them, like Belmont fans, may just go to Belmont Bruins games, right? They may not do anything else. There's plenty of that, but the city has gotten so big, so diverse that everybody can still do their own thing. That's
right.
The difference. 10 years ago, we couldn't have this conversation. It was a different market.
No.
But today, you're not relying on – you're just asking the question, is there 7,000 NBA fans on a, you know, on a home schedule in this market? I would tell you yes.
Yeah, I think – I mean – I would say if 7,000, let's use that number.
Is that the number you're using, right? You said 7,000.
If that's the number, I mean.
That's arbitrary. I'm just
you're probably selling out every night.
That's what I would think.
I would think most nights. If you didn't do it every night, you would do it most
nights. I mean, that's huge for the team, and it's huge for the city.
Because it's probably a less than 41 game. It's probably a less than 82 game schedule, right? The way things are trending, it's.
Probably.
It'd be hard pressed to get all 82 games in.
But you're getting some. The building would be getting some revenue back that they weren't going to get, you know, because of all this. So I mean, yeah, it'd be a
all
huge
the concerts
win for them.
That they've lost.
Sure.
Yeah, I think to me it's a no-brainer. No-brainer.
Yep.
We'll come back. We'll talk to John Glennon to start the second hour of the broadcast. We'll talk a little bit about the press conference that we heard from Mike Vrabel and get John Glennon's thoughts. We'll do that to kick off hour number two here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint, smoother than smooth.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.